But we'll begin with a writer whose childhood was peopled with famous artists and whose mother was both a muse and inspiration for characters in fiction. She was doing extraordinary things during the Second World War.
Outside the barracks, by the corner lights, I'll always stand and wait for you at night. We will create a world for two. I'll wait for you the whole night through. For you, Lily Marley.
Writer and curator Anthony Penrose is the son of American photographer Lee Miller and surrealist artist Roland Penrose. They knew everyone, and as a child he met many of the big names in the arts, from Miro to Picasso. He spoke about his life and work in a wide-ranging interview with Sarah Kanofsky. And here's just one part of it, in which he describes the wartime experiences of his photographer mother.
With me, Lily Marley.
To begin with, she became a photographer for Vogue, a freelance photographer for Vogue Studios in London, shooting fashion and all that kind of stuff. And then little by little by little, she raised her game to photograph the women at war in England, you know, the amazing women of the Royal Navy and the Air Force and all of that kind of person. And then when the Normandy landings came, she was ashore in France very soon after the Allied landings. And she just followed the American troops right through for the rest of the war. And she became a combat photographer, which was probably the only woman combat photographer with the infantry in the war.
It's extraordinary. And she was there at a number of key events during the Second World War, including the liberation of the concentration camp Dachau.
Yes. Well, by this time, she had been fighting her way across Europe for about a year. And even then, nothing could prepare her for the horrors that she found in the camps that she saw liberated. There were four of them in all, and the last two were the most horrific, Buchenwald and Dachau. And, of course, it was even more unimaginably horrible for her, traumatic, because so many of her friends had been found to be missing from Paris when she got through there, most of her Jewish friends, but also anybody who was an artist, a printer, a journalist. Mm. Anybody that the Nazis had disapproved of was just gone. And of course she was knowing that they were somewhere in this mass of bodies in this camp, you know, and looking for them. That's why she shot so much in close-up. I think she was just searching the faces all the time.
And there's an extraordinary story, Anthony, that on the day that your mother was there at the liberation of Dachau and took some very moving photographs of prisoners, that same day she went with some American GIs to Munich, where they discovered Hitler's apartment. And from that day, there is a remarkable photograph of your mum, Lee Miller, in Hitler's bathtub.
That's right. It is an amazing, incongruous, unbelievable photograph. She was with her wartime buddy, David E. Sherman. He was a Life magazine photographer. And together, thanks to the U.S. Army Signals Corps, they were tipped off where Hitler's house was. And they showed up, and the signalers let them in. And so they were the only journalists there.
Incredible.
And there was just about four other signals guys who were using all the telephone lines and stuff. And suddenly they, you know, I said to Sherman, what do you mean getting into Hitler's tub? I mean, that must have been an appalling thing to do, you know, to get naked in his bathroom and get into his tub. And he said, you know what? We hadn't had our clothes off in 3 weeks. We stank like a bunch of polecats, and there was hot water, soap, and a towel, and we just went in. And then, he said, they realized they had a scoop. And so he photographed Lee.
And it's such, as you say, such an incongruous image, in that she's there in the bath, you know, you just see her head and shoulders, she's soaping herself, she's a beautiful woman. And in this pristine bathtub, there's a photograph of Hitler in full military uniform propped up against the back of the wall. But then at the forefront of the picture, in front of the tub, are your mum's, I imagine, they're hers, very filthy, huge, heavy army boots. So there's so much happening in this image. It really is incredibly striking. Well,
yes, that photograph is absolutely packed. You see, the photograph of Hitler is by Heinrich Hoffmann. And the reason it's there is it's the most perfectly calculated snub to the Nazis, because that image became the kind of Nazi icon, the sort of holy sacred image of the Nazi party. And it was on all their posters and everything. And so to take it and put it on the edge of the tub, that was a wonderful snub. But as you've already mentioned, it's the boots. It's the boots that are really significant, because the morning of that day, those boots had carried her around Dachau. Now she's stamping the filth of that place onto Hitler's nice, clean bath mat.
And that was indeed the same day that over in Berlin, Hitler killed himself. I mean, you couldn't make this stuff up, Anthony. It's quite an extraordinary collection of events.
In that photograph, you can almost hear the circles closing. You know, the circles of the world history, of Lee's history, of the moral history of the time and so on. It's just the most incredible axiomatic image.
What kind of impact do you think, Anthony, that this war experience, photographing these horrendous places, these death camps, what sort of impact did that have on your mum after the war?
Well, up to that moment in Hitler's tub, I think the impact had been really extreme. Really traumatic. And then after it got worse, because she went way off into Eastern Europe and she found children, babies dying in hospital because the black market people had stolen all the drugs. She found endless columns of refugees. She found people who were destitute and homeless. And the beautiful, brave new world that was supposed to be delivered at the end of the war just hadn't showed up. And there was this dreadful sense of disillusionment. And that contributed, I think, really to the most difficult time in her life, which was suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder and suffering the crushing sense of that it had all been for nothing, the disillusionment. And it hit her very badly. And, you know, my dear old dad, he welcomed her home, but he hadn't got a clue how to respond to the awful turmoil that must have been in her mind at that time. I mean, today we know quite a lot about how to treat post-traumatic stress disorder, but in those days there wasn't any understanding, and all you did was you put up and you shut up and you drank a lot of whiskey. And it was not surprising she went into a very steep downward spiral of depression and alcohol abuse.
Were you aware of her career as a war photographer when you were a child?
No, not at all. I mean, occasionally it was mentioned, but she was so disparaging about it. She'd say, oh, yeah, I did a bit, but it was all destroyed in the war and it wasn't important anyway. And what none of us knew, not even my father knew, was the, you know, the incredible achievement and the stuff that she had done was unbelievable. And he also was unaware that she had systematically hidden her entire output way back from the Paris studio with Man Ray right through to the end of the war. She'd hidden all of that in the attic of the old farmhouse.
Wow.
And that's where we found it after she'd died.
Wow. So it was after she died that you found that stash. And did that change the sense you had of your mum?
It changed everything for me and for my dad as well, because when I saw the material, I was blown out. I thought, this can't be Lee's. This can't be the work of the person I knew as a useless drunk. And then, of course, I had to admit that, yes, it was hers. And there was a whole lot of it. And I was invited by Thames and Hudson to write her biography. And in so doing, I had to go and research and talk to people who knew her, and I travelled all over America and Europe and so on. And I remember one occasion I came back from America where I had gotten some very, very poignant information about just how incredibly brave she'd been and more besides. And I was telling all this to my dad, and I suddenly realized that he was getting teared up. He was really emotional. And I thought this was quite a shock to me, because he was not an emotional sort of guy. And I stopped and he said, if only we had known, we could have understood her more, we could have done more for her. You know, we wouldn't have had to have stood by while she was in sort of self-destruct mode so often, you know. And yes, of course, it was this sense of regret that he and I both shared.
There is so much more to that conversation between writer Anthony Penrose and Sarah Kanofsky. And you'll find links to it online at abc.net.au/rn. Just go to the Books Plus page. While you're there, listen again to Sarah's interview with William Boyd. Lee Miller's career was one of the inspirations for his novel, Sweet Caress.